Welcome to Scary Stories, the channel that tells you scary stories.
Check it out, it's a thunderstorm here in New York. It's a perfect time to sit back and listen to some Bigfoot stories narrated by PQ River. I'll have you know it's 101 degrees where PQ is today, and he's reading these stories. Reading these stories for us anyway, so I think he deserves hazard pay. I hope you leave him a nice comment in the comments. Comment section. Okay, now here's Madeline to introduce the first story.
Scary Stories by Peter Bernard. Number 1.
I saw Bigfoot disappear. As told to Peter Bernard, read by PQ River. Dear Scary Stories, if this story doesn't make you think I'm crazy, then you might be crazy yourself. For that reason, I'm going to tell it to you anonymously. I live in a part of Pennsylvania that is quite rural. Although my family does not own much land, most of the other families around here live on farms. When we sit out in back of our house, we can hear cows mooing all evening in the distance. Our backyard is a squarish patch of grass surrounded by forest on three sides, which belongs to two different neighbors. I never understood exactly where the demarcation is between their properties, but I know the Smith family, not their real name, owns the forest to the east of us, and the Jones family, again, not their actual name, owns the forest to the west. Both families were friendly to us, and we were allowed use of the forest for playing in during the day. We were all warned, our parents included, to stay out of the forest at night. We were never told why, but we were told to keep out at night, and so we did. One summer in the mid-60s, we saw a number of glowing lights in the night sky on multiple occasions. My two brothers and I were certain they were flying saucers, but my parents each had different ideas. Mom thought they were helicopters, and Dad thought they were military craft of some sort. They seemed to hover over a spot seemingly unmoving. That's why Mom thought they were choppers. Dad said sometimes if a flying vehicle heads directly towards you or directly away from you, it can appear to be stationary in space. These lights in the sky did not seem to have those blinking lights on them that are required on all private and commercial aircraft, so I'm not even certain they were actually aircraft themselves. They might have been early forms of drones or even some sort of natural phenomenon. We only ever saw lights. We did not actually ever clearly witness a vehicle attached to the lights. All I can say with certainty is that two or three nights a week, all summer long, we saw the lights dancing in the sky. We got used to them, and soon our friends from school would visit us at night to lay on the grass in the yard and watch the UFOs dancing over our property as June wore on. I remember we all got occupied getting ready for our big July 4th celebration, and either the flying lights didn't come by for a while, or we were just too busy to notice them. But then around the end of July or beginning of August, they came back in a big way. Only this time, they weren't just tiny lights dancing far overhead. This time, their actions had physical, real-world consequences in our lives. For instance, one night, we had grilled hamburgers out back and were sitting around listening to a baseball game on the radio when static interfered with the broadcast. At the same time, the backyard became even hotter than it had already been, and we noticed the yard was brighter. Looking up, we could see the moon larger than it had ever seemed before and glowing a faint yellow color. My mother screamed when she saw it, and a few seconds later I did too, as the moon sped over the forest where it appeared to land. It was not the moon. It was one of those lights come down close to us. We all attended our mother and saw that she was okay. Then I wanted to head into the forest to see if I could find where that light had landed. Our father strictly forbade that and ordered us all into bed, even though it wasn't our bedtime yet. We were ordered to skip our baths and shower in the morning instead. Dad just wanted us in bed as fast as possible. So we did what any kid would do in that situation. We stalled for time. My brother walked over to his baseball glove and ball, picked up the ball and headed most of the way back in, and remembered he'd left the glove. Then he went back to get the glove. I remembered where I'd left my bat and wandered off to get it, right at the edge of the yard by the forest. My father yelled at me to hurry up. I stopped walking, turned around, and asked him to repeat what he had said. Angrily, he ordered me to hurry up. I informed him calmly that I had been hurrying, but he yelled at me, so I had stopped to find out what the yelling was all about, and now was no longer able to hurry. I suggested that it was easier to hurry without being interrupted, and asked to hurry when crash, crash, crash! Trees parted behind me, and I turned to look. I saw the largest man I'd ever seen in my life, or the silhouette of him, at least. It was a mountain of a man, much taller than my father, who was the tallest man I'd ever seen in person. Much wider, too. I couldn't make out any features, only the dark shape. My father screamed again, but this time in horror and fear. The large man took a step out of the forest and now loomed directly over me. It was a hairy gorilla-type creature standing upright and holding a snow globe that was lit from inside. The giant man looked me in my eyes, then into the glowing orb, then back at me. He or she lowered the orb, then opened its mouth, and in a piercingly loud voice began to cry like a baby. Like an infant that needs milk or just wet itself. Speaking of which, that is what I myself did at that particular moment. I remember dropping to my knees and spots appearing at the edges of my vision, my pant legs getting warmer. I remember the creature's red eyes staring into mine as though asking some question I couldn't understand. I remember my father shouting and running closer to me from behind. The creature's eyes went from me to the direction my father was coming from. Then he or she just vanished, as in ceased to be there in front of me any longer, completely gone. Had I imagined it? Was this a dream? My father, out of breath, grabbed me and carried me in his arms to the house, almost falling a couple times on the way back. He kept asking me what it did to me, but I could only remember that it cried like a baby. I think it wanted a bottle, I suggested. I have enclosed a sketch I did a few years afterwards of what I remembered the monster looking like. We never saw it again, and we stopped looking for the lights in the sky completely after that. Dad said the more you think about them, the more they think about you, so we made a family pact to think about them as little as possible. It's my advice for you, too. Don't go looking for trouble, because this kind of trouble will come back and look for you.
Scary Stories by Peter Bernard, number 2.
Bigfoot in my bedroom. As told to Peter Bernard, read by P.Q. River. Dear Scary Stories, I am a 25-year-old, fully employed, dues-paying member of the Carpenters Union, but this story happened around a dozen years ago when I was still a kid. I had grown up in a pretty large city in an apartment in a big building. When I was 13, my parents split up, and I went with my father to live in a house near the woods on the outskirts of a tiny town. I didn't just lose my mom, but all my friends at the same time. I've reacquainted myself with a few of them since then via Facebook, but most of the kids I just never saw again. Since our personal lives had become nightmares, this creepy house seemed the perfect place to live at the time. It looked haunted from a distance, and it looked like the Munsters' home inside. The forest behind it wasn't one of those pretty ones you want to wander through. It was a jungle, with snakes, swamps, and even quicksand like in old movies. I didn't even know that was a real thing until we moved down south to this house. Everything about the place screamed horror movie. I don't remember exactly when I first started seeing shadows moving in my bedroom at night, but it was one of the first nights we stayed there. The next morning, my father told me I was just seeing shadows of animals walking around outside my window. That night, he pulled my shade down and installed a new nightlight, and of course, that only allowed me to see the shadows moving on the walls more clearly. There were definitely intelligently motivated, apparently living creatures in my room that appeared to me as shadows. It looked almost as though light were being projected from over my head and behind me onto the wall in front of me, and that something in between those two points was interrupting the flow of light and making shadows appear on the far wall, except none of that was happening. Each night, after that, I would see the moving shadows for at least a little while. Sometimes it would just be for a few seconds and they'd calm down and let me get some sleep. Other nights, the darkness would twitch and shudder and do everything it could to keep me awake for what felt like hours. Over the course of months, the shadows began to join together more and more until there was only one shadow, and it was generally man-shaped. It would usually seem to be observing me from the corner of the room. Eventually, I grew used to falling asleep with it staring at me or seeming to. Soon, I found myself waking up in the night and seeing it, still there. And then one night, it walked out from the shadows. The shadow itself walked out of its own shadow, and I saw this thing that looked like Bigfoot standing there, looking back at me. It was so tall that its head nearly touched the ceiling. It was so dark that I couldn't make out features, but it appeared to be shaggy all over. Its eyes glowed and pulsed in an almost hypnotic way. I tried to pull my eyes away and saw that I could, so I don't think I was actually being hypnotized. The Bigfoot walked to the foot of my bed and stared at me with its pulsing eyes. I saw movement outside my window, and there was a strange man standing there, or at least the face of a man. It was staring at the Bigfoot and grinning. It looked like a man, but its eyes were too far apart. It noticed I was looking at it and disappeared. Then, the apparent Sasquatch at the foot of my bed disappeared as well. I never saw any of these things again. And as I previously stated, I'm an adult now, holding down a responsible job, but these experiences definitely shaped my view of the world and of the paranormal or strange. I hear people arguing about Bigfoot, and arguing about ghosts, and arguing about UFOs, and to me, it seems they need to stop arguing and start listening to each other. They may all be chasing the same wild goose. I know what you're asking in your head. Are you saying that shadow men are really Bigfoot? Not exactly. But I am saying that what people sometimes perceive as Bigfoot and other times perceive as shadow men or ghosts may in fact have the same or similar origin points. In other words, the same phenomena might be perceived in different ways at different times by different points of consciousness. Or, in simpler terms, there's no such thing as Bigfoot or shadow people. There's only whatever it is that shows itself to us as Bigfoot or shadow people, and that might be the greatest mystery of all.
Scary Stories by Peter Bernard. Number 3.
Is Bigfoot a ghost? As told to Peter Bernard, read by P.Q. Ribber. Dear Scary Stories, When I was a kid, I used to see monsters. Or at least I would see one monster. I couldn't tell if it was the same one or a different one, as they were always pretty far away and always in at least partial darkness, and each sighting or encounter would end the same way. The entity would begin to move into the light where I could get a better view of it, and as it did so, it would literally disappear from sight. In our family, this creature or form was known as the Hay Man. Supposedly, that was the name I myself gave it when I was 3 years old and reported its presence to my family for the first time. I suspect I was trying to say Hairy Man and not Hay Man, but I don't actually remember, so I just don't know. Either way, Hay Man is the name that stuck, so it's the name I will use for the telling of this story. It was not a creature made of hay, however. It was a hairy, tall, ape-like man with bright red eyes that were either lit from within or else reflected light like bicycle reflectors. Nobody else saw the Hay Man except me, and so it became a family joke, just another weird thing about me for all of them to poke fun at. They were actually pretty supportive, even in their joking, so it didn't drive me to depression or make me feel left out. They decided I was the family weirdo, but they liked having a family weirdo, so I don't remember being bothered playing the role. One night, when I was 11 or 12, my brother was playing me a game at the lawn table on the patio behind the house. We kept hearing weird sounds from the forest, and so finally we turned out the patio lights and let our eyes adjust to the darkness to see what was out there. By the light of the moon, I saw the Hay Man. I didn't feel like getting made fun of that night, so I didn't say anything. My brother, however, gasped. Whispering, he exclaimed in my ear, "Bigfoot!" And he pointed directly toward the Hay Man, who did not seem to notice us yet. I guess he did sort of look like a Bigfoot now that I thought about it, but I had, for some reason, never made that connection before. Whispering back, I asked my brother, "You can see him?" Realizing that was a stupid question, I immediately added, "That's the Hay Man," and my brother's head jerked back to stare at me in shock. His expression was saying, "Either the Hay Man is real, or now I've gone insane like my older brother." We both looked back at the creature, and it realized it was being watched for the first time. Turning to stare directly at us, the red eyes lit up brightly. My brother gasped, then gasped again as the creature took one step toward us and vanished. We climbed over each other in our haste to get inside and lock all the doors and windows. When we got inside, the family wanted to know what was wrong, but my brother said nothing was wrong. He was just tired and going to bed early. He dragged me away with him and begged me to promise that I'd never tell the rest of the family that he saw the Hay Man, too. We argued. Then negotiations got serious, and he agreed to be my slave for life in exchange for my silence. This lasted all of 3 days before it dawned on him that if I ever said he saw the monster too, he could just deny it and call me a liar on top of being crazy. He realized he held all the power as long as he was willing to deny, deny, deny. It should surprise none of you that he now works in local politics in a different state. I saw the Hay Man two more times over the next 2 summers before my parents sold that property and we moved to New York City. If Bigfoot lived here, he'd have his body waxed and you wouldn't know if his eyes glowed red because everyone here wears shades. All joking aside, I'm 99% certain I've never seen another hairy ape man since. There is a bouncer at a certain local club that the jury is still out on, though. All of my Bigfoot or Sasquatch experiences happened in my childhood, finishing, I guess, when I was 14. All of them, as in every single one of them, ended with the creature either vanishing or becoming invisible in front of my eyes. For this reason, I do not think of Sasquatch as a race of gorilla-like creatures. I do not think they are an undiscovered species of primate. I have a few different theories, each of which make more or less sense to me on different days, but I almost never am in a headspace wherein I can conceive of them as a species of normal primates. If they are that, then they must be primates, either coming here through time tunnels or interdimensional portals. I am not a huge fan of those kind of theories, but some of my friends think this explains my stories. Some days, I think they are phantoms of creatures that once roamed the earth. That would explain why they vanish like ghosts. Since they always make eye contact before disappearing, I would class them as intelligent hauntings, if indeed that is what they are. Other days, I think they are not vanishing, but becoming invisible. Perhaps in spite of their primitive outward appearance, they are actually an advanced race of some kind. What if they have the technology to make themselves appear invisible to us? That would explain why it always seemed to happen right after it noticed it was being watched. By calling them an advanced species, it sounds like I'm implying they're from outer space, but what if they are just an ancient species from right here on Earth? What if they are as old or older than the human race, with equal or greater mental capacity? I just read somewhere in National Geographic saying that humans only inhabit 5% of the Earth. Why could an intelligent species not share the planet with us and deliberately keep itself hidden? A species that perhaps evolved its mental abilities to the same extent that we've developed our technological abilities. Or maybe my brother and I both suffered some kind of mass hallucination. It seems to me the moral of the story is this. Hey man, give plenty of space to the Hey Man.
Check us out on our YouTube channel, Scary Stories NYC.
Come back for more scary stories.